It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and believe it or not, it is once again time for us to spend about 15 minutes here on KETR and do what we've been doing the last 6 years, and that's talking about the outdoors. Usually, I'm telling you where the fish are biting or where the good place to hunt hogs or deer or whatever. We're going to do things a little differently today. I have a special guest. Her name is Susan Campbell Renaud. Susan is a renowned outdoor writer. She has written many books on hunting. She's a conservationist. We're going to talk about, or Susan is going to tell us about something that, quite frankly, I don't like the idea of it. But in a nutshell, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is in the somewhat early stages, I understand, of maybe giving away some federal land that we need to keep federal land. But let's learn the whole story from Susan. Susan, thank you very much for being with us, ma'am.
Well, hey, I can't thank you enough, and I want you to know, for any of your Texas listeners, I was lucky enough, and I do feel it was God-given. I actually successfully hunted a Boone and Crockett pronghorn in the beautiful state of Texas, down by El Paso a few years ago.
There's not that many pronghorn antelope in the panhandle in West Texas, but there's some big ones. That's true. Well,
yeah,
congratulations. I wish I could say that. Susan.
Well, anyway, go on.
Yeah, I want you to tell everyone about Theodore Roosevelt put maybe this, the National Bison Range up in Montana, maybe one of the first wildlife sanctuaries, if you will, that the federal government created. And now what's happening, there's talks of giving this away from the people of the United States to, we won't call exactly who, I don't really think it matters, but a special interest group. Let's just say it like that.
Yeah, who they give it to is beside the point. In 1908, Theodore Roosevelt and another friend of his, William T. Hornaday, who was associated with the Natural History Museum in New York City, recognized that the wild bison of the northern plains was disappearing at such an alarming rate that very shortly they would be extinct. And they took it upon themselves to form the Bison Society, and they raised money. In fact, my great aunt was one of the little kids that contributed pennies, nickels, and dimes to raise money to buy back a small herd of wild bison that had roamed the northern plains in Montana. And from this little fundraising effort, which back in 1908 actually amounted to a lot of money, they raised over $11,000, and in 1908, that's a lot of money, they put together the first ever big game refuge of the National Wildlife Refuge System, which had begun by Theodore Roosevelt when he was president in 1903. And in 1908, they created the National Bison Range. So that's kind of the perspective. And it was the first ever act of Congress that was to be paid for by the taxpayers of the United States. So they purchased the land from a landowner. They put together 19,000 acres, and on it they put 35 wild bison. And that is what became the National Bison Range. As the years progressed, the same property owner demanded payment a second time. And so not only were they paid in 1908 and 1909, that represented approximately $4 million, but in 1971, they were paid by the taxpayers a second time, because they contended that when they were paid in 1908, the money was less, and now they wanted to get paid more. So $22 million approximately was paid to them at fair market value for the 19,000 acres that at that time was the National Bison Range. And so that's where we sit today. And what is really alarming to me, and I've written about this in national magazines, and thankfully people like you who have a wonderful radio show, I've talked to people. This is another example of efforts by not only, I mean, it really doesn't matter which party is in office. It seems like there are special interest groups that want to get their hands on federal land, whether it be national parks, national refuges, national forests, whatever, and they want to use it for their own economic gain. And that is what would happen. And right now, there is legislation being drafted to be presented to Congress that would do exactly that. The National Bison Range, which is a national refuge begun by Theodore Roosevelt when he was president, would be turned over without payment to the taxpayers, lock, stock, and barrel. And that national, that is going to set a precedent. Like you and I discussed off air, that is going to set a precedent. And in Texas alone, there are 5 national refuges and national monuments that are actually slated to go down and to be given away to whatever special interest group puts in a bid for it, lock, stock, and barrel. As a result, if this federal legislation actually goes through Congress and gets passed, that is what will happen to all national parks, all national refuges, and any other federal land you can think of.
Scary, Susan. You know it really is.
Well, it's horrifying. And, you know, myself as a hunter and as a fisherman, and my whole family is, I do not have a lot of money. I write books, and most people that write books on hunting don't make very much money.
I'm a kindred spirit. Last year, yes, I understand. I bet a lot of our listeners also understand that.
Well, people think that if you're an author, and I've written 22 books, but there's only one book that I've ever written that actually made money, and that was my book, Colorado's Biggest Bucks and Bulls, and because I'm from Colorado. And I wrote this book, and it's all about stories and everything. That is the only book out of 22 that I ever made any money on. So there isn't a whole lot of money in being a writer. But when it comes to hunting, I depend on public land for a place to go hunting. And I live in Colorado and Montana, and I travel between the two because of family members. And I depend on these public lands not only to hunt, but just think of all the people that are in your listening audience that love to bird watch, and they love to hike, and they love to do whatever on public lands. And unlike Europe, unlike Asia, unlike Africa or any other place in the world, in America, you as a citizen or as a visitor to our country can walk on these public lands. And it's free of charge.
And it's your land. That's the good thing. It's part your land as a citizen. Well, I think our listeners probably have understood to this point, you know, the basic premise here is that this 19,000 acres that is the national and has been the National Bison Range in Montana, who knows? Any special interest group is just what the name implies, a special interest group. Who
right.
knows what they might do? What the federal government will do if mandated, and it remains, you know, under the auspice of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, it will
right.
continue to be what it is, right?
Well, and absolutely. And if the federal laws are changed, it will dynamically change how federal lands are managed and owned. And I can assure you that if a special interest group wants to build a restaurant, they want to do condominiums, they want to do gas stations, they want to do museums, maybe they have a ranch and they'd like to graze cattle, they would love to get their hands on the likes of the National Bison Range. And in addition, all the national refuges, all the national parks in Alaska, including the Arctic National Refuge, are up for grabs. And I can assure you, if there are oil barons that would like to get their hands on the Arctic National Refuge, this would be the opportunity to do so. And they're not going to care that the Arctic National Refuge is the breeding ground for some of the most magnificent North American wildlife in the world.
Exactly. Well, Susan, we have about three more minutes, but I want us to use that to what can we as citizens that, you know, that would oppose this? I think, honestly, I think anybody that's an outdoor lover that loves the outdoors, probably would oppose this. I certainly do. What could we do as citizens to help facilitate stopping this from happening?
The most important thing is to be informed. I have been writing about this since 1994. I actually, believe it or not, have become the foremost authority on this particular land grab project that started in 1994. And through both Republican and Democrat administrations, it doesn't seem to matter. I urge the listeners to email me. I've had throat surgery, so it's hard sometimes for me to talk. And this is a very complicated issue. So get out your pencil and paper and write down Blue Mountain, all one word, lowercase, spelled out, Blue Mountain at Montana, spelled out, MONTANA.com. And that will give you the list. In fact, I encourage you, Luke, to put my speech that I sent you on your website so that people can see the list of all the states that are involved. It's basically 100% of all the states. And you need, because this is federal and because this is a federal land grab, I want them to talk to their U.S. senators and their U.S. congressmen and scream bloody murder. And say no.
Yes.
And just say no.
That's pretty simple to do. And I know that there's just probably untold hours that you have spent staying on the cutting edge of this. And to be honest with you, Susan, I mean, basically all I knew was about the National Bison Range up there. There was something going on. I mean, I honestly didn't slow down enough to study and find out, but thank goodness, you know, you've done a good job of informing me and everyone else about what's going on. So,
And let me jump in here and just say, you are not alone. When I spoke at a large conference in Pittsburgh last week to the hip leaders of every conservation group in America, including Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, National Wildlife Federation, Pheasants Forever, Mule Deer Foundation, all of those groups. I mean, the list went on and on and on. There were like 70 groups that were represented. And I spoke, when I finished speaking, there was dead silence. And at the end, when I sat down, I had people coming up to me and saying, we had no idea.
Well, we're going to continue to get the word out, Susan, and we are out of time for today's show, but you don't know how much I appreciate you taking the time to break this down for all of us, and maybe we can get you back before long, and you can keep everyone updated. Could you do that?
You know, Luke, I cannot thank you enough. You are a dear, and I love your show, and I so appreciate your willingness to get the word out, because radio listeners are some of the most intelligent. In fact, I would contend the most intelligent people that are involved in media of any kind, because they really do care. And I know your listeners really do care that federal lands stay federal and they stay available to everyone.
Well, Susan, thanks again, and we will get you back very soon. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thanks very much for tuning in today. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Hunter's Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, Smokin' Tech's Electric Smokers, Sun Optics USA, Hogman Outdoors, makers of the Game Alert, Night Sight, and Darton Archery. Make sure and tune in next week. Let's have some more fun talking about the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.